Good morning. I don't actually do much of the work that I used to do at Exeter Presbyterian Church. Most of my time is involved at Portsmouth Christian Academy. I do fill in preaching for Steve once in a while, but I'd like you to turn to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 4. I'll be looking at the end of the chapter, verses 35 through 41. I know that John just prayed, but I'd like to pray also here before we look at that together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to read from your word, to look at it together, and I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us, and ask that you would guide my words, that I would speak only your truth, and that you would use your word to build us up in faith and to see Jesus more clearly and to rejoice in him, to glorify him today. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. So Mark 4, 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and sea, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is God's word. Well, are you feeling overwhelmed by any of the storms that you might be facing in your life at this time? Sometimes we may really feel like our Lord is asleep, and we wonder what he's doing or not doing, or where he is, or why he doesn't answer our prayers. And, you know, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" Well, the disciples had that concern. Of course, in this case, Jesus actually was asleep in the boat. In this passage, we really get to see a wonderful view here of both our Lord's humanity and his deity, and the fact that he really is sleeping. Jesus is a true man. He really is. He was really exhausted from a day of ministry. He had been teaching the people in parables, if you look earlier in the chapter. Been teaching probably all day, and then at the end of the day, he's bringing his disciples across the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and there was other boats there with them. But he was tired, and so he fell asleep in the boat. I think there might be another reason, though, why he's sleeping here, which is that he was perfectly at peace, trusting in the Father's control of things, and that he was in the Father's will. And there was nothing to fear. And so here this crazy great windstorm comes here and the boat's starting to sink. And Jesus is able to be at peace and be asleep. But the disciples are not at peace. That's the last thing from their minds. Just as many times when we're in different situations in our lives, maybe peace is the last thing from our mind. Jesus is not concerned. He's in control. He's got it. But we're freaking out. And wondering, "What are you doing, Lord? Or why aren't you dealing with this?" Now, in Mark's gospel, the first half of his gospel, he really emphasizes the power and the authority of Jesus. He shows that in various ways and shows that he has authority over all things. He is Lord over the Sabbath. He has authority to forgive sins. He can heal the sick, raise the dead. He has authority to command demons, to leave people. and leave off oppressing people. He even has authority, as will become clear in the next chapter, to raise the dead. And right here, this occasion where he is sleeping in the boat turns out to be an opportunity for him to show his disciples that he is the one who has power and authority over even the weather, over even nature itself. And really showing that he has power and authority over all the storms in our own lives. So the disciples wake him up. Now, I don't think that they actually expected him to calm the storm, because when he does, then they're really concerned. So I think it's more that, you know, they're going to drown, the boat's going down, and here Jesus is asleep. It's like, aren't you going to help? We need another pair of hands here. You know, this was your idea of coming across the sea tonight, and now we're all dying here, and you're asleep. So it'd be really nice if you'd at least help us out here. So they wake him up. So what he does do is not what they're expecting. So he stands up in the boat. You can almost picture the scene here where the wind is crashing over the boat, or the waves are crashing over, the wind's blowing, and Jesus is probably he's steadying himself on the side of the boat, and he stands up and he looks out and he says, "Peace, be still." I don't know if he shouted or maybe he just spoke very calmly. But in any case, as soon as he spoke, it says there was a great calm. In the Old Testament, it's very clear that it is Yahweh, it's the Lord God Almighty. He's the only one who has the authority over the wind and the waves and the sea and over nature itself. And I actually wanted to read a passage from Psalm 107. You can turn there if you'd like, or you can just listen. You may recognize this once I read this. So I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but Psalm 107, verses 23 through 32. It says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." This is very fitting, because that's exactly the situation the disciples were in. They're in the sea. They're staggering like drunken men. They're at their wits' end. They cry out to the Lord, not even fully realizing who it is in the boat here whom they're crying out to, but they do cry out to the Lord, and he does speak, and then there's a perfect calm on the sea, and he delivers them from their troubles. Really showing that this is the Son of God. He is the one who has all power and authority over everything, even nature itself, even over the creation, because he's actually the one through whom the Father created the world. Jesus brought the sea and all weather into being. And so he speaks with authority over it. Well, unlike in the psalm where the response of the people here is simply to be glad and to praise the Lord, the disciples have a little bit of a different response in this situation, because they don't recognize actually fully who Jesus is. Now, after he calms the sea, he rebukes them. He says, "Why are you worked up over this? Why are you panicked here? Have you no faith? Aren't you trusting in God?" Well, I don't think their feelings were hurt at all by Jesus' rebuke. In fact, it doesn't seem like they're even listening to his rebuke very much, because they're more worried at this point, like, who is he? In fact, this is one interesting thing about this story. Three times in the story, Mark uses the word great. Mark likes to do things like this. In verse 37, it says, "A great windstorm arose." This is a windstorm like these guys have never seen before, and some of them are fishermen. I mean, they had been out in the Sea of Galilee a lot, but this is one where they really thought they were dead. They thought they were going to drown out there in the sea. You know, this was too much. So there's this great windstorm. And then Jesus stands up and he speaks to the sea. And it says at the end of verse 39, there was a great calm. But then at the end, in verse 41, it says the disciples were filled with great fear. Same word. A great storm, great calm, and great fear. So they're afraid because, like, wait a minute, who is this man that we've been following here who's in the boat with us? I mean, he just spoke. Can you imagine this, actually, if you're in a boat and there's a storm and you think you're going to die and somebody in the boat's there and he stands up and he just speaks, peace, be still, and the whole thing, just calm. They've never seen anything like this. Like, who is he? That's really a question that Mark is raising for us. For those who are reading his gospel, to confront us with Jesus, the one who has all power and authority, so that we would also ask that, who is this? I mean, Mark's been clear himself who Jesus is right from the first verse of the gospel. He says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, he stated his thesis right from the beginning of the book. But now he's showing us, demonstrating through these accounts of Jesus' ministry, that he really is the one who has all power and authority over everything. And the disciples are coming to grips with this. But when we come to realize who Jesus is and we put our trust in him, we don't need to panic in these situations. We can actually trust him and call upon him and know that he is in control and he knows what he's doing. And that is even the case when it does seem sometimes like he is asleep. And maybe, just maybe, one of the reasons he was sleeping here wasn't just that he was tired, but he wanted the disciples to get to the point of their wits' end before he did anything. I don't know, it doesn't say that. But certainly that is what happened, is because he was asleep and wasn't doing anything, they got to the point where they didn't know what else to do, and they were beyond anything that they could contribute to the situation here. You know, and sometimes God does that for us too. It's like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said they had gone through some, he says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of what we had experienced in Asia. He says, we were at the end of our rope, basically. He says, we felt that we had the sentence of death. But that was to cause us to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. It's the same kind of thing. It's like Paul and others there with him, other brothers, thought that they weren't going to make it through whatever the situation was. They thought they were going to die. But he says that God had a purpose in that. He was actually trying to teach us not to rely on ourselves, but because we had to rely on him. There was no other option for us. And there was no other option for the disciples here but to call on Jesus. Again, not even realizing at this point who it was that they were calling on and having no idea that what he was about to do. But sometimes God brings us into these situations and it seems like he's asleep, but he wants us to learn through it that he really is in control. He does love us. He is taking care of things and he's going to work this out. And that's true whatever the storm might be. Whether it's as we mentioned earlier here, just the problems of addiction in our society that maybe that we go through. I mean, we could talk about Teen Challenge and people with drug and alcohol addictions, but there's other things too that we can lose control to and just sweep over us and overwhelm us, you know, or just depression or anxiety, which may or may not even seem to have an immediate cause. Marital strife and conflict are the family situations that can feel so overwhelming, and you're in it day in, day out. You can't get out, and so it's like, how do you deal with this financial crisis and feeling like you're going to sink or whatever it might be, and it feels like we're going to drown, and we wonder where God is. Does he care that we're perishing? He wants us to know that he is in control, and he's given us a Savior who loves us and has all things under his authority. So that Paul could write in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Or we could add a crazy great windstorm on the Sea of Galilee, or fill in the blank, whatever we're facing. As it's written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are more than conquerors if we are in Jesus Christ by faith. If we are trusting in him, if we are trusting in Christ, then he is in control. He's in control whether we're trusting him or not. But if we're trusting in him, then he is going to work this out for our good. And nothing can separate us from his love. And we can call on him in faith, not panic. And actually, you know, if you continue on in Mark's gospel, I mentioned that Mark is, you know, he set out this thesis right from the start that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's showing us that. He's showing that he has all power and authority in everything, in every situation, and over all rulers and authorities, even over the demonic realm, even over death itself, and certainly over the weather. The second half of Mark's gospel really shows us, however, how Jesus actually, as the Son of God, who has all power and authority, how he exercised that. What he did as the King of Kings in his mission when he came to earth as a man. So when you get to the halfway point, when Jesus puts the question to his own disciples, you know, first of all, who do other people say that I am? But then he says, who do you say that I am? See, there's that question again. Who do you say that I am? And Mark's recording this question that Jesus asked the disciples because he's putting the question to us too. And then Peter says, well, you're the Christ. And Jesus blesses him for that and says, you know, this was revealed to you by God. But then immediately afterwards, Jesus starts talking about the fact that he's going to be killed and he's going to rise from the dead. And of course, you know, the story where Peter rebukes him and so forth. But he mentions that three times in the latter part of Mark's gospel. And Mark quickly records Jesus' final days leading up to the cross. And it's also in that context where Jesus makes the comment that, you know, the true leader, the true great one is the one who serves. He says, for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I mean, this is why Jesus came. So he is the one who's the Son of God, the King of Kings, who has all power and authority, is actually going to give his life on the cross. Now, when he did that, he was actually calming the ultimate storm, the one that we really should have been concerned about. See, we're concerned very much about a lot of things in our lives, like the disciples in this situation here. We're concerned about many things, and they're, you know, legitimate concerns. How often are we even concerned about the main thing that we would need to be concerned about, which is the fact that as sinners, we deserve the wrath of God. And when his wrath comes upon the world, it's a storm from which no one escapes on our own. It's a storm from which no one escapes, and we all drown. Nobody makes it through. But God sent his Son to walk into that storm himself. The way that Jesus calmed that storm was not just to say, peace be still, and everything was fine, because there was real justice that had to be satisfied. Jesus calmed the storm of God's wrath for us who put our trust in him. He calmed it by actually taking it himself on the cross, giving his life as a ransom for many. And that's really what his mission then was. And of course, in victory, he rose from the dead. The Father raised him from the grave. So Jesus calmed that storm so that we could have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, our Father, now, we don't need to fear that wrath at all. Again, this is for those who have put our trust in Jesus Christ. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when we do, we can know this. There is not one raindrop of God's wrath left coming at us. There's not one puff of wind of God's wrath left because Jesus took it all. There's not one little spray of the slightest wave left. It's perfect calm. And all that's left is the sunshine. The clouds are gone. The sunshine of God's grace and love and favor and kindness forever. That's all there is for us in Jesus Christ. And if we know that, if Jesus has handled that, then certainly any other storm that we go through and face We can trust that he's going to exercise his power and authority for our good. And the Father, on our behalf, if he sent his Son to do this for us, which is actually one of the main points Paul's making in Romans 8. But so we can trust him. Now, I want to mention one other storm here, though, because we do need to trust him. For instance, you know, the book of Hebrews says, if we shrink back and we walk away from trusting in Jesus Christ as our King and Savior, he says, there's nothing left but the wrath of God for us. Because there is no salvation. There's no peace with God or salvation anywhere else except through Jesus Christ. And so God's calling us to put our trust in him and him alone. What about the storm that can rise in our own heart? And it may come because we're facing some difficult life circumstance, you know, marital problems or whatever. It may come as a result of that. It may come because of temptations. It may come from many things. From our own tendency to unbelief or whatever. But the storm of unbelief that can rise up and churn within us, leading us to fall away from trusting in Christ. Honestly, that's the storm that scares me the most at this point, because I know that there's only salvation through Jesus Christ, and I know that in him all will be well. But I know enough about my own heart at this point to know that storm that can rise up, that's really scary, because I'm like, well, I don't trust my own self, that I'm not going to get swept away by my own unbelief. To me, anyways, that's one of the biggest things that I'm concerned about. Now, but here's the thing. Jesus is sovereign even over that. We don't have a Savior we do have a Savior who has power and authority over everything and exercises that for the salvation of his people. There's not anything that's outside of his sovereignty. And his grace is our Savior. You see, if there was one thing, for instance, our own tendency to unbelief, that's the one thing that can undo everything Jesus is doing for his people, then he's not actually completely in control, is he? But he is. And therefore, it can be said that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And so, we can even, you know, when we feel the panic rising or the unbelief or the struggles or whatever it might be, you know, and we don't feel that peace, rather than just panicking about that or going the route of some, which might be to say, you know what, I don't even want anything to do with this. It's just too much trouble and I am just going to walk away from Christ. We don't need to do that. Just look to him again and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you even with my own struggles with unbelief or whatever it is. I'm trusting in you. And I know that you have control even over this, and that you are my Savior. And I look to your cross, and I look to what you've done for me, and I trust your control over my life now and over my very heart. And then we can know that he is exercising his power and authority for our salvation. And certainly to work out good in the storms in life that we face. And so we can say with a man who said, Lord, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. And we know that he does. So we can trust the one who is sovereign over all things and over every storm, because he actually is not asleep. He loves us and he is in control. Father, we thank you that you are so good, Father, to give us your Son as our Savior. You've entrusted all things into his power and control. Our very lives, our very hearts are in his command. We thank you that he absorbed all your wrath and he calmed that storm on the cross, and that he's in control over every storm that we face in our lives, Lord. And so we look to you in faith again today. Do pray that if there's anyone here who's not trusting in Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and as their Savior, Lord, that you would bring them to that place. This might be the day that they would put their trust in you, Lord, and whatever we're facing, help us to trust you and to have your peace that passes understanding would guard our hearts and minds today, this week. And Lord, we praise you that you are great. You are great. And we thank you in Jesus' name.